Jesus. Let's just lift up our hands and just give him praise. He's the holiest of all. In the eyes of everybody, in the eyes of every man, just lift up your hands to Jesus and let's give him praise. Father, we worship you. We honor you, Lord. We believe what we are singing. We believe what we are singing. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Still in that attitude of worship, with the consciousness that you are standing before him, I want you to ask him to touch you again today. Ask him to touch you again today. Ask him to breathe on you. Ask him to have mercy on you. Ask him that he should not allow you leave here the same way that you came. Lord, don't allow us leave the way that we came. We thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please, before you have your seat, just welcome the person next to you and tell them that you're glad to see them. Thank you very much, Pure Streams. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we glad to be in the house this morning? We give God praise. So good to see. So good to see everybody. And I believe that we're going to have a beautiful time in the presence of God this morning in both services. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise Jesus. So we'll just dive in very quickly. We have a couple of scriptures to look at, and we have to start from somewhere. Praise God. So let's begin by looking at Isaiah 61 verse 7. Just want to show you one verse there. It's a long scripture, one verse there, and then hopefully would run before I take you to 2 Peter 1. Are we ready for God's word this morning? All right, so in Isaiah 61 verse 7, the B part, but let me just read A before we get to B. The Bible says, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Hallelujah. The Bible says that there are two possibilities according to this scripture. Some people are in a confused state, and some other people are rejoicing in their portion. How many of you believe that you have a portion from God? If you're a student of scripture, you have a portion from God. And that portion consists of many things. And this morning, I just want to show us one of that. And then I will show us how we can keep growing in that portion and how we can enjoy that portion. Hallelujah. But if you read the scripture very well, the Bible is very clear. The Bible tells us clearly that one of the reasons for rejoicing is how godly we are becoming. I will soon take us to 2 Peter 1. But before then, I want to remind you of, you remember when Jesus sent out people to go and preach and they came back rejoicing. You remember that scripture? And Jesus told them, don't rejoice because you cast demons out. You know, that was why they were rejoicing. They said that the devils are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, don't rejoice because of that. Why did he tell them to rejoice? He says, because your names are written in heaven. What does this mean? Many meanings, but in simple terms, it means that you are a part of what God is doing. You are a participant in what God is doing. Is that simple enough? In other words, as Peter puts it, you are a partaker of God's divine nature. Hallelujah. Please, I want you to stay with me this morning. It's a very simple message, but I believe that it has great implications for all of us. So the Bible tells us here that we will rejoice in our portion. And I want you to know that one of the reasons that you are going to rejoice, there are many reasons why you will rejoice, but one of the reasons you are going to rejoice is that you are becoming more and more godly. Hallelujah. Is that a good reason to rejoice? So you have a portion. You have a portion in that. Amen. And every time the Bible talks about or speaks around issues of fruitfulness, it is usually in this context, how godly we are becoming. In Matthew chapter 7, and I feel that many of us have not really taken time to really meditate on what Jesus was trying to say. And I want to encourage you, this is just by the side, let us cultivate the habit of meditating on scripture. Hallelujah. What does it mean to meditate? It means to think about something over and over again. So if you can worry, you can meditate. You know, worry is thinking about something. And that art or that skill, it's becoming very rare in this generation. It's not very... Lagos doesn't even encourage meditation. But you have to find a way to meditate on the Word of God. If not, you might have issues around fruitfulness. Hallelujah. And another important thing about meditation is that it is many times, even reading the Bible, there are many things that you can easily just gloss over. But it is when you meditate, one of the meanings of the word meditate is to think about something in a way where what was not very apparent before, what was not very clear before, is now clear. There are many things that we can miss when we don't meditate. So I want to encourage you, cultivate the habit of meditating on the Word of God. It will really, really bless you. You will be amazed that the meditation that the average young person knows about today is yoga. When you mention meditation, that's the first thing that comes to people's mind. And there are Christians that will even get involved in debates on whether yoga is a sin or not. I pray there's nobody like that in this room this morning, because you are just, even if it is not a sin, you are just wasting your time and you are wasting your life. But the message today is not about meditation. I just thought to encourage us on that. Amen. So the Bible says, instead of confusion, they will rejoice in their portion. And one of the portion, one of the elements of that portion I want to pick today is how godly we are becoming, or how fruitful we are in our faith. So let's go to, with this at the back of our minds, let's quickly go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's go to verse 5. Amen. So this is a scripture that you all know, but we'll be looking at some things a little bit more closely this morning in the time that we have. And I believe that God will bless you. Are you tired already? Amen. So the Bible says, but also for this very reason, the reason is in verse 4. So verse 4 tells us that we have become, by these exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may become partakers. Partakers is an old English, I'm not sure it's still very well, not so old, but it means to participate. It means to be a part of something. So it says that we must be partakers of what? The divine nature. So you are meant to partake of this. It says, having escaped the what? Corruption that is in the world through lust. All of these scriptures must be somewhere deep in your heart, because as you look at people today, the lines are getting very, very blurred. Amen. There's really no separation anymore. More than ever before, there are more people that believe we are serving the same God. Hallelujah. That's why you need to know, you need to be able to tell your right from your left. And then what they used to, and then when you tell them we're not serving the same God, if you don't know your scripture, they will just quickly blackmail you. Said the Bible says don't judge. And then many people fall for that. So we need to be armed with these scriptures. It says that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. So there is corruption in the world, but the Bible says we have escaped it. Okay, and it tells us how that corruption came. So have that at the back of your mind. Let's go to verse 5. It says, but also for this very reason, in verse 4, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, to self-control, to perseverance, to godliness, and to brotherly kindness. Amen. So there are about 9 of them here. And these are in the School of the Spirit. These are about 9 courses that you cannot afford to carry over. Hallelujah. We're going to pick one of them this morning, which is kindness. But we have some things to say before we get there. So he says, to brotherly kindness, love. And then look at the next verse. It says, if these things are yours and abound. So it means that when you are taking stock, when you are crying to God about what you have and what you don't have, these are some of the content. And you need to get your walk with God to a point where you ask yourself, as I'm going like this, do I have patience? And you need to be able to break it down practically. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, if these things are yours, so they are meant to be your own, and abound, it says, look at the certainty. It says, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. First promise. Second, let's go to the next verse. It says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted. What does it mean to be? Some of us are short-sighted physically. It means that you can't see far. Have you? But you know, the physical one, well, it's not good, but it has a cure. If you get good glasses, you can walk around. You can walk around it. Some people can't really see to sign a document, but when they wear their glasses, they're able to see. Some people can't see to watch TV, but when they wear their glasses, they're able to see. But this one doesn't really have any cure. It says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So the Bible is telling you, if you're interested in lasting as a child of God, if you're interested in going the long haul, if you believe God that you will not be part of those that will fall away. You know, one of the prophecies in the Bible is that there will be falling away. Hallelujah. And you can break that prophecy into parts. Much of it has to do with issues around the coming of Jesus, the Antichrist. But if you have lived long enough, you know that even in this life, there is falling away, true or false. There are people that used to be very fervent years ago. Today, they are not really fervent. Some of them have gone away totally, and they are doing things that Christians shouldn't do. So he says, if you do these things, you will never stumble. Next verse. For so an entrance will be supplied to you, how? Abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. though you know and are established in the present truth. Hallelujah. But let's go back to verse 5. Is this making any sense to us? We have to get to a point where we sit down and we ask ourselves. How many of you know that if you, let's take patience for example. How many of you know that if you want to be, if you look at your life and you feel that you are not patient enough, you know there are practical things to do to be more patient. Whenever you want to measure, these are parameters for measuring your growth as a Christian. Hallelujah. Amen. These are parameters for measuring the progress that you are making. I said we're going to touch on kindness, but I still want to push this a little bit more before we zero in. On kindness. So he says, for this very reason, add, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. I will encourage everybody to memorize these 9 things. They would really, really help you. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to verse 6. Verse 7. Verse 8. Okay, I touched on this. Let's go to verse 9. It says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Hallelujah. Now, the word short-sighted here, I try to give an analogy of when somebody is short-sighted physically. It's a bit different spiritually speaking. The word short-sighted here is also connected to revelation in your heart. So when the Bible is saying that he who lacks these things is short-sighted, it's saying that such a person has a heart that there's no revelation there. Hallelujah. Because we see with our heart. Praise God. When the Bible talks about blindness, it's not talking about your physical eyes. It's saying that your heart cannot really capture anything like that. So he says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And I want to ask you this morning, what have you forgotten? It's time to retrace your steps. Hallelujah. This can never be a good condition as far as God is concerned. But he says, if you lack those 9 things, as far as God is concerned and as far as the Bible is concerned, he says you are short-sighted. And it means that in layman's terms, it means that you won't go very far. Praise God. Is this making any sense to us? And God wants you to go far. God wants you to see. Pisac was talking to us on Wednesday and he was making a point and he was saying that you can see the end of things. Hallelujah. You can, and that's one of the things that helps us to endure. That's one of the things that helps us to be patient. Says you can see the end. When you are short-sighted, it has great implications. In Proverbs chapter 29, I believe verse 18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That word vision there, it's a word that encompasses revelation. Another translation says, Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. In other words, they begin to behave anyhow. You begin to observe a lot of misconduct, and they won't really be able to walk with God. Praise the Lord. So the Bible is telling you, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. So if there is any one of these nine things that you say is low, is not for me, you are not as nourished as God wants you to be. And there will be implications as we're going forward. Amen. So all of these things, they are very, very, very important. And I like the promise that Peter made to us there. He says, if you have all of these things in abundance, he says, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will all, till Jesus comes, fruitfulness is something that we will always be talking about. In John 15, verse 8, Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Hallelujah. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So it means that if we're not bearing much fruit, God will not be glorified. Hallelujah. But because our time is running very quickly, I want to pick one of those, I call them curses that you cannot afford to carry over. They are all things that we all have to sit with and install. And these are the things really that should power all of our lives. So I want to pick on brotherly kindness. And we'll speak about that for the next few minutes. You see, kindness, I feel that we don't have too many, of course, aside from scripture, I feel that we need more materials, or we need more things to, we need something that we all need to sit down and really, really look into. And I want to try at least to arouse, there's something inside you, hopefully, and you can begin your own journey. Hallelujah. Amen. Kindness is so powerful. And when you read the scripture, it is littered all over the scripture. And we're going to see a few scriptures just to buttress what I'm trying to say. Kindness has two sides, at least for the purpose of this conversation. I'm going to speak about kindness in relation to our covenant relationships. And I'm going to speak about kindness as it pertains to strangers or people that we don't really know, what the Bible calls hospitality. Whichever one you look at, it is very, very powerful. Let's see Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Let's begin from there. The Bible says, and be what? Kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, we all have an idea what kindness means, but there is an aspect of it that we're not too familiar with, or we've not really come to appreciate. That word, you know, I said when we're looking at 2 Peter, I said all of those things, you can actually check your life and assess where you are. How much of this do I have? How much of this do I want? And then you do the math and you come up with the practical steps to have more of them. Kindness speaks of an ability to act for the welfare of people that are taxing your patience. Hallelujah. So you hear Pizak say in some of the marriage conversations that we've had, he will say, the mark of a spiritual person is what? Kindness. And I'm sure some of us might be wondering, what is the connection? But you will see some of the connection today. Amen. You know, it's not very easy to act for the welfare of somebody that is stretching you, placing a demand on your patience. The natural thing to do is to what? Is to withdraw. Hallelujah. Kindness is powerful. And I just hope that our heart will appreciate some of these things as we go on. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. So I want you to make up your mind as you listen to me this morning in the time that we have. Our time is running very fast. But I want you to make up your mind that you are going to be a kind person. A kinder person. Hallelujah. Settle it in your heart and let God begin to help you, especially in all of your covenant relationships. In all of our homes, we can increase the level of kindness in our homes. Do we agree? In our dealings with one another, we can increase the level of kindness. So he says, be kind to one another. What is it about kindness that made it to that list in 2 Peter chapter 1? Because one of the things there, it says brotherly kindness. And it's part of the whole curriculum that will ensure that in this knowledge or in this discussion of Jesus Christ, you will not be barren and you will not be unfruitful. Hallelujah. So it means that kindness has a role to play. And I'm reminding us again that kindness is powerful. I don't know how many of us remember during the 21 days, one of the mornings for those of us that came, Pizak was prophesying to one of us, and he was saying that God is about to bless him so much. It's in the public, so I can repeat it. It wasn't a private prophecy. This was where he stood and he was declaring. And he said, God is about to, the way God will bless him, it will take a very long time for anybody to be able to catch up. And he said two things. He said, God wants to reward your mother. And then he now said, your kindness has unlocked this. So two things about kindness. Kindness many times will open doors. And many times, kindness is a link to generations. Hallelujah. If you go to 2 Samuel chapter 9, David said, is there anybody remaining in the house of Saul that I will show him kindness? This was years after Saul had gone, years after Jonathan had gone. And they went and brought Mephibosheth. The Bible recorded that he was lame in both feet. And David, I think from verse, okay, is there anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And if you go back to 1 Samuel, I will get that place. It was part of the terms of the covenant that Jonathan and David caught. Jonathan said, when these things begin to happen, show me kindness. And David Remember this. So when we say David is a man after God's heart, these are some of the dynamics. Hallelujah. Spirituality is more attractive on a kind person. Hallelujah. You have to be kind. And if you check your life and you see that it's not there, you can install it. Don't say you have it when you don't have it. Hallelujah. And even if you have it, it can increase. Are we seeing this now? So kindness, it is one of the wheels that carries a covenant relationship. So I said it's a link between generations. Now, I'm sure the person that Isaac prophesied to, I'm sure when he was just living his life, he didn't know that. I'm sure he didn't know that one day this thing is connected to whatever. But God picked it. And God said, your kindness has opened this door. Amen. So, you know, I said there are two sides. Whether it is relationship between man and wife or any kind of covenant relationship, or if it's hospitality to strangers, because you can't be hospitable if you are not a kind person. Hallelujah. I want you to know that there is a revelation behind kindness. This is beyond I'm a nice person. That's why you see the Bible tells us that he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Anytime you say short-sighted, what you should remember is no revelation. Hallelujah. Short-sightedness is the same as no revelation. And then you can proceed. It has a way of regulating your behavior and how you operate. Amen. So I've told us about kindness. It opens doors. It is the link to generations. There is something about kindness that your heart must appreciate. In Job chapter 29, verse 13, this scripture, I love it so much. Job said, the blessing of him that was perishing came upon me. Or the blessing of a perishing man came upon me. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. How did this blessing come? Kindness. Who is a perishing man? When you do things for people that can't pay you back in the flesh. Hallelujah. But there is a blessing there. And Job said that blessing came upon me. We have to be kind people. Amen. Whether it's at home, whether it's at work, there is something about kindness and the spirit. I can't explain all the link, but my assignment this morning is to tell you that there is a link. If you go to Proverbs, I can't remember the chapter now, but please help me look for it. The Bible says, what is desired in a man is kindness. Hallelujah. In other words, what makes somebody very, very attractive is this kindness that we're... Yes, Proverbs 19, verse 22. What is desired in a man is kindness. We'll leave the B part. We're not talking about that today. Praise God. One of those elements in 2 Peter 1 is that you add brotherly kindness. Praise God. Let me show you Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans. We have to arm ourselves with this understanding. If you have a Bible like my own that has headings, the topic of this discourse is behave like a Christian. That's what is on the heading. Behave like a Christian. And then from verse 9, he begins to tell us, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is so powerful, and it is written all over. It is written all over the scripture. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, when they were telling us about the qualification of bishops, let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 2. A bishop then, by the way, just to help somebody, this bishop here is not the way you, it's not the way you know bishop today. So bishop here in 2023 will be HOD. Hallelujah. Because bishop here just means supervisor or overseer at the different levels in the local church. Do we get that? So it's not talking about the bishop with the cassock and all of that, even though it can apply. I'm just saying that it doesn't exclude you. Amen. So don't read this and say, well, I'm not a bishop. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior. What is the next one? Hospitable, able to teach. Because today there are many Christians that are not hospitable as they should be, and they explain it away. But God will have you repent. You can't go very far without this. Hallelujah. It's a part of the curriculum that must be sorted, that must be included in anything that we're doing. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 10, Paul began to tell Timothy about how to handle widows. And he was talking about, he says, a widow that is less than, let's go to verse 9. He says, do not let a widow under 60 years be taken into the number. No, let's finish that. And not unless she has been the wife of one man. So he's now telling you, if you want to take a widow into the number, these are the qualities. Verse 10, so she's been the wife of one man, well reported for good works. If she has brought up children, look at the next verse. If she has lodged strangers. So all of these things, all of your hospitality, all of your kindness, it is adding up for you. God is taking note of it. It's part of your resume. Hallelujah. It's part of the resume of a person that God walks with. Praise God. So don't allow anybody to deceive you and say, kindness is something that we should just treat anyhow. You will never know how powerful kindness is till you need it. Hallelujah. Many times that's what would determine whether a marriage would pack up or whether it will continue. Praise God. It may not sound deep, it may not sound high, but if you're interested in things continuing and things lasting and things getting to their full potential, then you have to keep looking at this, and we need to keep trusting the Holy Spirit to help us. A lot of people, in the name of prayer, for example, they are not kind. If you look at them very well, you know that this one is not a kind person. So he says, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13 verse 2. You know this one, but let's read it. Hebrews 13 verse 2. Do not forget to what? Entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwittingly. What does unwittingly mean? Unknowingly. Amen. You are just living your life, and then you encounter angels. It says some have unwittingly entertained angels. Hallelujah. And angels don't, they don't, how do I put this? Anywhere you see angels, it's a way of referencing God. It's a way of referencing the divine. Angels are not there for themselves. Hallelujah. So this verse is telling you that one of the ways to link the divine, one of the ways to connect the spirit or the things of the spirit is with kindness. Hallelujah. Do you know that's how the Shunammite woman got her miracle? There was kindness involved in that miracle. She said, this man has been going and coming. Let us make a bed for him. And it was in that process, the man of God said, what do you want? Hallelujah. Do you understand that? You know that story now. We don't have time to go there. But kindness gave her miracle. Praise the name of the Lord. This is so important, and I want us to take it and add it to every other thing that we're doing. The Bible says, and she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. How many of you know she didn't have to do this? Praise God. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. And you know the rest of the story. Hallelujah. The Bible says we're to be given to hospitality. Don't say things like, oh, these men of God, we don't know which one is fake. We don't know which one is genuine. And all of that. You are cutting off yourself from something divine. Of course, the Holy Spirit will guide you on the actions. But it should be every time God looks into your heart, this should be something that is there. Hallelujah. If you go to Genesis 18 also, Abraham also connected the divine or connected God through hospitality. You know the story, those three men. And we're told that one of them was who? Was Jesus. One, two angels and one, many scholars believe that. And it was in that chapter that the promise to Sarah was made. Hallelujah. That according to the time of life, I will return and Sarah would have a son and all of that. And that's where Sarah was laughing. But God bypassed all of that. Hospitality is powerful. I was reading something. These guys at that time, they had a culture. They call it the Bedouin culture or something like that. And their culture, they believe that nothing is too good for a guest. For many people, even Christians today, it's the opposite. Amen. Are you seeing how God thinks? Remember I told you at the beginning, one of the legitimate reasons for rejoicing in Scripture is that we are becoming more godly. We're becoming more Christ-like. So these guys had a philosophy or a mindset that nothing was too good for a guest. And that understanding powered their hospitality. Amen. Rahab also, when she showed kindness to those guys that came, and God took note of that. And in Hebrews 11, you read about Rahab. You are the one that knows she's a prostitute. According to God, she's a very, very great person. I'm just trying to tell us in very simple words, you need to be a kind person. Kind to your wife and be kind to one another. Kind to your husband and be kind to strangers. Hallelujah. We're not hearing much of these things again today. The one that the devil would flash before you is the people that maybe stopped to carry somebody in their car and they brought out gun and they robbed them. So everybody is careful. And the real attack is that people are no longer as hospitable as they should be. Hallelujah. There are some of us now, if you are building your house, for example, and we say, can you leave one room for a missionary so that when a missionary is coming, it will look very strange. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Even just talking about it now, I can feel the tension in the air. Remember, I already said God would guide you on the actions, but this is one of the covenant behavior. It's hard to see a person that is prospering in the covenant that is not a kind person. Hallelujah. It's difficult because there's really no connection. How many of us know that God is very kind? Amen. God is very, very kind. And as I begin to tie this up, it is something that you have to appreciate about God. You see, if you read Galatians 5:22, you can divide the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How many fruits of the Holy Spirit do we have? You can divide them into three parts. The first part, love, joy, and peace. It talks about our attitude towards God. The next three deal majorly with our social relationships, which is a major way that we are going to bring in the harvest. Hallelujah. If our social relationships are one kind, it's going to be difficult. Do you know it's easier to, if you are a kind person, the chances that somebody is going to follow you to church is higher than if you are just anyhow. Hallelujah. You know when some people get up to attempt to maybe preach in their office, people are just murmuring. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can't tell them to sit down if it's a high person, so you just murmur. But the social interactions are not the way that they should be. And of course, the last three deal with a Christian's conduct. There are principles that guide a Christian's conduct. But I'm interested in that second one, our social relationships. I told you, kindness is a link. Praise God. Sometimes this is how you would even, many times, not even sometimes, this is how you would even come into the miraculous. The compassion, for example, that you have for sick people. I remember reading an article one time, and the title of that article was Compassion, the Secret Weapon of Jesus. You will read that Jesus had compassion on them. Hallelujah. Do you know that as an intercessor, your success rate is higher when there is compassion? And that's one of the secrets of Moses. The Bible says he was the meekest man in all the earth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's go back to 2 Peter 1 and let's tie this up. Have you been blessed?
Yes, sir.
I just tried to show you some of the things that should power your life. It's not really a message. It's a way of life. It's a way that you should live in everything that you do. You have to be a kind person. And I'm sure, I believe that as we increase the level of kindness that we walk in, it has a direct connection to the harvest that we're going to bring in. So I want us to just see those promises again so that your heart can appreciate this. So let's go to verse 8. It says, if these things are yours, hallelujah. One of the beauties of Christianity is that when you walk with God for some time, some things become your own, practically, tangibly. Amen. You are not guessing. At the beautiful gate, Peter and John said, silver and gold we do not have, but such as we have, hallelujah, we give unto you. And the miracle the miracle happened. It's not humility to keep saying you don't have. Amen. In fact, it's almost like a curse, because Jesus said, to him that has, more will be given. To him that does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And this is one of the things to have. He says, if these things are yours, a portion of God that you have become one with. He says, if they are yours and abound. So it's much. The quantity is much. He says, you will neither. It's sure. You know, the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. The scripture is sure. So when you read books about people that maybe, when you read maybe a book like Finishing Strong, and they tell you that the number of people that made it are lesser than the people that did not make it, your heart will not shake. It says, if you can be on this lane, it is guaranteed you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. These are promises that should be before you. It says, okay, let's go to the next verse. It says, be diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, it says, you will never stumble. Hallelujah. People will stumble by your left. People will stumble by your right. But you will never stumble. Is this not exciting? This is the word of God. After it's all said and done, these are the things that will matter. Praise God. You know, the Bible says that we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we're not taking anything out. The only thing that leaves this world with you is your character, the part of God that you have become one with. That one is eternal. It doesn't end here. Amen. When Jesus was teaching Mary and Martha, and Jesus said, Mary has chosen what? He says, the good part. And he says that what she has chosen, no one will be able to take it away from her. Hallelujah. I pray that God will give us understanding. Amen. And he will establish us in this truth.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.